Wilson Contreras, after the on-field kerfuffle last night and Cade Cavalli calling him boy, I don't know what is going on with guys on this team who can't help themselves when it comes to responding to trolls, and there's a little bit of a thing going on where he was on the social medias last night, and a fan referred to him using the P word, and then he went LB on him and said, come to Fenway and fight me, essentially.
Right.
You know, LB used to say 20 Guest Street kid, and was ready to, he was ready to hot feed it up, and he could he could back it up.
LB. Hell yeah.
I don't
you
know.
Show up, you better be ready.
I don't know that the Red Sox, we can find out from Sam Kennedy tomorrow. I don't know that they want their players telling fans to come to the ballpark to fight them. I don't know where
Mego they said. And I were having this conversation, and it was kind of off air, and it was interesting.
Kind of?
Of how today I feel like us as society is soft. Like back in the day, I would have been like, you're talking ish, and if he says, show up, you know, come meet me after the stadium, meet me outside. Nowadays, people be like, oh, athletes can't do that. You got to be bigger than that. But they're still human beings at the end of the day. You can talk this trash, and you can say all these things, but it's just, as soon as I clap back at you, then I'm in the wrong as an athlete. And I think with the Contreras or, like, even the LB thing, like, there are some people, like, rather than being a keyboard tough guy, why don't you show up and we can settle it like men? And then they're like, whoa, why do we got to resort to violence? Well, you're basically saying all types of reckless stuff to me, telling me to go F myself, I'm a P word, and you're saying that that's not supposed to bother you? If somebody walked by in the street and got in your face and said, F you, you P word.
Well, yeah, that's not the way it's happening, though. It's on social,
right, but it's still,
it's on
but,
social media.
But social media
like,
shouldn't
people
separate.
Say, people say, do people not say, make outrageous comments to you on social media?
No, because
they make them to me all the time if I even pay attention.
Yeah,
to
I don't
them.
Really I don't, pay attention.
I don't know why Jalen Brown day, or Jaren Durant, what's that?
They do every day, of course.
Yeah, I don't know why they pay any attention to it. Like,
but nobody's ever said, F you. You P word on social media to me, or at least I never like.
You're lucky then.
Clearly, you do not look at the comments.
Yeah, I don't look at the. I don't look at the comments.
Have you ever opened your DMs?
Yeah, but it's usually like people like you know sending liking things that I posted or whatever. But no one's ever said F U U F and P word. They might have been like, oh, Wiggy's fat. He's stupid. He don't know what he's saying. Where right. He can't talk. Blah blah blah. But nothing like this. If somebody tells you to go F yourself. It's completely different than somebody being like, oh, you're fat and you can't speak.
Why?
What do you mean why? Because that doesn't bother you. Telling me to go F myself is you are basically telling me that I'm a piece of ish in my mind. If you have the nerve to tell me to go F myself, then you
it happens all the time.
Like all the time.
I've never had that.
It happens all the time.
I've never seen. Nobody's ever said that to me.
Yeah, I mean.
But if somebody did, I would respond to them. Might respond in the LB.
So you think that the Patriots organization would have been, if social media was what it was, they'd be fine with you saying, come down to Boston Stadium and fight me after the football
game. No, they wouldn't be fine with that. Of course not.
It's Gillette. We pay them. Yeah. They pay us, rather.
They wouldn't be
to
fine.
Use that stadium.
They wouldn't be fine with that. But if I responded that way, if clearly they're not going to be fine with it. But I have the right to respond that way because I would then sit to them and I would say the same thing I'm saying to you guys. I would say, Robert Kraft, how would you feel if somebody told you to go F yourself?
There's a great video of Bill Belichick and Tom Brady entering Super Bowl 49. And it's right after Deflategate, obviously Spygate. And they're waiting to enter and be introduced onto the field. And there are Seahawks fans just on top of them. Screaming the most vile things to Bill and Tom and the team, and they just stand there stoically. And it made the comeback even more impressive in that fourth quarter because you're thinking, like, the whole world is against you. And think about what that feels like when you're Bill Belichick and Tom Brady accomplishing what they had with everything on the line in that game, and they didn't flinch. And I feel like that's what great players do.
Yeah, but see, you can't. That's where you and I differ. It's not about great players. Yeah, there are some people who don't respond that way, and I get it. But there are other people.
Could you imagine if they've tried to climb into the stands before the Super Bowl?
Right. Listen, climbing into the stands, okay, I get it. But there,
Mike Milbury did that, by the way, and a bunch of the Bruins guys.
So did Meta World Peace.
Yeah, but there are, like, see, and this is where I think this
didn't
is where
out well for him.
This is where I differ from that opinion with Curtis, is that I'm from a world, and a lot of people are from a world, not everybody handles criticism the same way or you talk an ish about them. There are some people, like LB, if you talk about them, will say, okay, You can talk big and bad. Why don't you bring your ass down to the station and we can settle this? But there are a lot of people who live in this world like that. Not everybody goes the Michelle Obama route when she says, oh, when they go low,
we go high.
Right, but yeah. and so
you when always you, go high.
But when right. yes, but when you say
when
that
you go low, we go into your right, house at 2 a.m.
When you say that to people, they make it seem like you're in the wrong because you're choosing to go that way.
I don't know. I think there on the other side, Wiggy, though, sometimes if you're like, oh, I'm going to turn the other cheek, I'm going to like try to be above this, then people will be like, oh, they don't have anything to say back. Look at them.
Yeah.
They don't have anything to say. And it's like, I quite frankly just don't want
to. You know
what
my mother used to say to me? You know what happens when you turn the other cheek? They slap you in the other one.
Then
so,
you turn it again.
But why don't we get when it?
Yeah,
this,
and they
this,
just keep slapping you. And
listen,
sooner or later,
you got to
hit back. Like,
but why don't we
Sounds
hear?
Like a time.
Why don't we hear about this same kind of thing happening when it comes to Mets players to other teams that are struggling? Where
I bet
they
it does
are,
happen. Which is
Wiggy. I don't hear anything about it. They're not getting people removed from the park who are saying negative things. They're not telling people to come fight them. Like
the Yankees fan had, I remember there was a story about how the Yankees fan had some people removed. Like, so I bet it happens all the time.
That's what I don't like. I don't care about if an athlete, if like it's different if you're using slurs. If an athlete claps back at a fan, like shouts something back.
What's the exact wording of the response from Wilson Contreras?
Wilson Contreras wrote back to this person on Instagram, come meet me at Fenway. What's the problem there?
Yeah.
There's no problem with that. Come meet me at Fenway.
Right. Well, but then you know what people are going to say? Well, he's threatening the guy.
Whatever. Like,
but,
that's, to
but
me,
that,
that's fine.
Mego.
It's when you go.
You could be offering him front row
go,
seats, Wiggy.
Remove them. Remove them from the premises.
Mego.
Because he's shouting my batting average through five innings.
Mego, like, you are a very smart young lady.
Thank you.
And when you say.
You think I'm young?
Oh. Are you like, how old are you? Like 33?
Something like that.
All right.
Although at one point you felt she was kind of frumpy.
When it came to what
she wears.
You know, not sure there was a kind of.
The Adam Sandler dress.
Not when you see her on the yacht in the clear heels and the and the thong.
Thong bikini.
Yes, yeah,
thong. We have to match again, Mego.
In the bikini.
It's going to be like big pimping.
Right. But you know we live in a world where when people say that, like what Contreras said, they're instantly going to be a ton of people go, oh, why is he threatening this guy?
Yeah.
That's the world we live in 2026. And it might not bother you, but the world that we live in, people are going to go like, oh, you threatening me.
Curtis, 781 texter says, Tom Brady, when somebody said, spoke ill of his daughter on the radio, he did the exact same thing, is what they're saying.
Well, family is a whole different thing. You talk about family, you're talking about somebody's
family.
Yeah, but
see, that's the thing. Some people might feel like if you call me the P word or you tell me to go F myself,
that's their line.
You're disrespecting them. Like, there are some people that,
for me, it's Pudge. Everything else is fine.
But there are some people that, you know what I'm saying, Mego? So why you can't draw a line in the sand and say, okay, this is the line, because everybody's line is different.
Right.
And
very
I think
true.
That's the biggest thing that people don't understand. They're like, oh, why are you mad because he told you to go F yourself?
All right, well, it's interesting, and there may be some sort of a fine associated with the actions of Wilson Contreras, Mego? Is that?
Chris Cotillo from MassLive says that it's within league boundaries to punish for that, so they may be looking into that Instagram back and forth.
Okay, all right. More on that here today.
If I was the guy, I'd go down there and fight him, lose, and then sue him. Get a little bag.
See, that's great America.
Yeah. Go down and take a L.
I would send that former state trooper down there and to pose as me and see what happens.
Oh, yes. He happens. Could throw some haymakers.
Yes, he can.
Be careful with that. He's going to put you to sleep real quick. All right.
That was Roman Anthony with Bradfo updating his return from an injury. Nick, what did he say again there at the end?
Waiting on a finger.
Same. That's what I would say. So that's Roman Anthony, the latest on his health. And it does tie back into whether or not the Red Sox should make a run, Terp. Him, Crochet, like part of the reason I still have them at arm's length is, number one, the scars are too deep. The wounds are too real with me hanging on to this bandwagon.
Even with
basically
the AL?
The exact same spot where you set the line that you're going to bail. They're 9-4.5. Your line was 10-5.
Yeah, so does that mean I automatically have to be back in every time they're under that line? I don't think that was the binding contract I got into. I think it was more binary than
as
that.
As soon as they're
I'm actually
not...
surprised anybody's going to let me buy back in. Once you say you're out, I don't think you're
you
allowed to
go back
in. You
did wave the white flag. I don't know how you can undo that damage.
I'll figure out a way. Yeah, don't worry about
there
it.
There has to be a way.
That's my issue to figure
maybe
out.
Maybe a
not
question
yours.
For Grok.
Yeah.
Maybe Grok could tell us.
Maybe I'll ask it. It did Grok cook at 12:45. That's a good thought, Terp. In for Keith today. Who knows? Is not suspended. We keep getting text. People are like, is Keith suspended? Where is Keith? Has he run off with Tracy Bingham? Is he at QuiltCon? We got that one earlier today.
That's a good theory.
Keith is not suspended. He could be at a QuiltCon. He could be with Tracy Bingham. He's not suspended. I can guarantee you that. Part of why... I can't really buy back in. If they were getting Anthony back, and not that Anthony was giving you anything this year, if they were getting Crochet back, not that he was giving you anything this year, even Story on some level, like that's a big leaguer they're missing that Alex Cora had for a month that Chad Tracy really hasn't had. All these pieces that have been gone, big league pieces that have been gone from this team. If they were all coming back, and then you're like, ooh, they returned for a month and now you can make a move at the deadline. Maybe I'd feel that way. I honestly still don't, because those guys, Roman Anthony included, feel a million miles away.
We were just talking about last year and the turnaround last year. Who were the three names in the center of that last year? Crochet, Anthony, Story. Those were the ones. They were the driving forces of last year. And obviously there were more people pitching in, but like those three were really the ones carrying them through that stretch that elevated that run. So I'm with you, but when you're looking at the schedule that's coming up ahead of the All-Star break here, there are winnable games and winnable series, and I think that gives you some hope, especially if you can go into the All-Star break on a little bit of a run, just given how bad the American League is. And it's been kind of hard to buy into this team, obviously, because we said it yesterday, they've been allergic to momentum. But now they're finally starting to get going. Their offense is finally starting to roll, and obviously we'll see what happens with that, because there's nothing that is shown throughout these guys' major league careers, the guys that are carrying the offense right now, that is sustainable. So we'll see what happens there. But for right now, you're at least staying afloat because of how bad the American League is.
Twitch chat, depressed Sox fan Jones, you keep saying Cora had guys that Chad hasn't had, and we just went through that. Crochet, Roman Anthony, even Story, which honestly, that one feels like cheating a little bit, but throw it on the list. What the hell? Cora cheated. I can cheat. So he hasn't been, he didn't have all those guys. Meanwhile, Chad didn't have a hot, quote-unquote, Jaron Duran for like a week. And Scrappy-Doo, Caleb Durbin. Well, no, he didn't. You don't think the manager has anything to do with Durbin? We're not going to give him any credit for that? I mean, they had to go outside the organization to go get help.
He didn't have to go outside of the organization. You can't give Chad Tracy credit for him.
Well, I don't know. Is Cora going to let guys do it? Cora let Narvaez do it? Like, I don't know.
Cora did keep him in the lineup.
I give him credit for guys who are hot on his watch. What do you mean? Cora couldn't figure it out with Durbin.
You got a little run of Mickey Gasper in there.
Figured it out
when he
came up. This manager has figured it out with Durbin. The last guy couldn't. Why on earth would I give Cora credit for that?
I mean, I give more credit to Durbin for just like sticking with
fine.
Him. Like,
that's fine.
That was brutal.
But
the beginning of the year.
Fine.
For him.
I didn't bring him up. It's binary. They're either on the roster or they're not. I wasn't talking about who's hot and who's not. That's the course of a baseball season. Guys are going to go through these.
Like I said, though, I do give Cora credit for sticking with Durbin even at the beginning of the year, because that was
Blame for effing him up. Cora moved him up in the lineup when he knew he wasn't ready for it. I think Cora contributed him sucking out of the gate, quite frankly. So they didn't bury him in the lineup. He put him right there, number two. Oh, this is your guy, Craig? This is your guy? You don't like Trevor Story hitting second? This is your guy? Fine. Little Scrappy-Doo is hitting second. I blame Cora for effing him
up. And
that
was making an All-Star push. How about that?
Well, that's not
maybe not that far.
Let's not go too
far
with it.
Well, if they started counting it at like the end of May, Player of the Month push, maybe you can get behind that.
Maybe.
The summer of Durbin, the June of Durbin?
Maybe.
He's been great in June.
A player of the month push. Maybe.
No, that's probably still extreme. But maybe he'll get a vote or two in there.
Red Sox are tied for the fourth best run differential in the American League, along with Seattle. They trail only the White Sox, the Rays, and the Yankees.
They're also one of, what, five teams with a positive run differential in the AL?
I mean, usually...
I don't know how much you buy into that. That's like the on-off numbers with the Jalen. Like, how much do you look into that?
Well, I think team ones are a little more representative than individual, and I would say they're usually predictive of future success. That does not mean they're going to make the playoffs. That doesn't mean they're going to even be over 500. But are they as bad as 12 or 13 games under, 14 games under 500, whatever they got to? They're probably not that bad. I would say the run differential is at least predictive of that. Text line says, guys, the Red Sox have to win 15 straight for me to buy back in. Okay. Well, that means you're leaving. That's an open door, is what that is.
That means they have to get to over 500. They have to get to one
they're
game
over
500.
They're a quarter of the way there. A third of the way there, rather. They're a third of the way there. So, yeah, it took me a minute, but I got there. They're a third of the way there.
Terp versus maps. Terp versus math. We have some seconds.
I mean, look, I am also horrendous at math. But, yes, they are a third of the way there, is what they are. Okay, door's open. But maybe that's a good way of putting it, Nick. He won't be back in, that individual, sir or ma'am, won't be back in until the Red Sox are over 500. Let's go to Ralph in Cranston. Hello, Ralph.
Hey, good morning, guys. You know, that was a great point you made, Cora, maybe messing up a few of these guys.
Thank you.
Yeah, I agree with you. And, you know, the funny thing is that that tap in the hat last night, that was kind of petty, but it is allowed to do. It's an umpire's discretion to do. It's not allowed, whatever, if he takes it as a disgrace, but whatever, they won the game. But, you know, when you said, should we believe, or you could take a while for you to believe, you know, I don't believe that this team is going to win the World Series. So I'm looking at this team, and what I
believe... Okay, well, hang on. No one's saying win the World Series. We're just talking about turn it around and, like, sneak into the third wild card. No, I've not heard one person
give
say
us something
World
to watch in August.
Yeah, yeah.
Which does nothing for me. In all honesty, I'm an old Owlback guy. I like to see it. But what I see them building, this is why everybody's got their opinion, and I respect you guys and everybody else. I understand what Breslow's building here. It's probably Theo with them. They're building this team from the bottom going forward. And look at their pitching. And I look at some of the things that Breslow's done. Now, I don't think they gave him a checkbook and said, go sign any here. I would love to see Schwarber here. I love Schwarber. But I don't think they did it. But if you look at what this team's building right now, and they may be a lot better when they get their players back and they get a second chance. But what if you look at what they're building, I'm so impressed with the pitching.
I grew up with horrible
pitching in the Red Sox organization.
Ralph, I personally, I think like you, get annoyed when people say, well, they've screwed up all their kids. Because they have not screwed up they've screwed up all the hitters. Like, that's true. Have they screwed up Toley? Have they screwed up early?
But those are left-handed pitchers.
What about Bennett?
We know we can get the left-handed pitchers. Oh, yeah, but the rest of the roster.
But I hear this a lot. Like, the Red Sox, they don't know how to develop players. No. They don't know how to develop hitters.
Yes.
Okay? Like, I'm with you on that. And that might be driveline, and that might be a blind spot for Breslow. They've been pretty good at developing pitchers.
That's what I said. If they do decide to move on from Craig Breslow, maybe find a way for him to stay on as a consultant just to recognize and develop left-handed pitching.
This is like what people wanted to do with Alex Van Pelt. Like, downgrade him from offensive coordinator to quarterback coach. Yeah. He's not going to do it.
So, of course, he's not going to do it.
I don't think Breslow would do it, but that would be ideal.
I mean, great.
Theo moves downstairs and Breslow handles the pitching. That actually would be an ideal
setup. No, just left-handed pitching.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Just left-handed pitching. Only left-handed pitching.
Do not touch the right.
No.
Keep Andrew Bailey.
Literally, only evaluate left-handed pitching.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that's not a bad idea. I don't hate it.
Oh, man. It is 93.7 WEEI. Rich, Ken, Ted Johnson. This is the song that Ken, you said, is the greatest one-hit wonder of all time?
It's not even a debate.
Oh, boy. Yeesh. Holy moly.
Just like Norway's Rowing, the one-hit wonder of the Norwegians.
Yeah, now, that definitely was a one-hit wonder thing. All right, we've got full phone lines. First of all, it's been a great several days here for the Red Sox.
Right. This is your fault, Rich. You're taking us back into a morass of negativity.
It is not. This was a question that needed to be asked, and Chad Tracy answered it the best that he could. But his answer, some people did not like his answer, and some people thought it was perfectly fine.
Some people didn't like it, like the guy asking the questions over and over and over again.
By the way, might I say, being there last night, there were many people around me who were cheering Duran on and up after strikeout or whatever it was. Like, he'd come back to the dugout and be like, all right, you're all right, 1-6, you know, trying to – I think people are very aware of how fragile the situation is, and they're trying to just pump him up.
Can I just say this one in his defense to somebody? Like, I feel as if a guy that goes public with his stuff, whatever he's getting, you know, yelled at or people are screaming stuff at him, he hears everything as personal.
Because
he assumes everyone knows his story, and, you know, yelling at him about his poor batting average, he'll process it as they're trying to, you know, take him down. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I understand what you're saying.
When the who knows? With the Yankee fan yelling at him might not have known anything about his past mental health issues. So, but I feel like maybe he feels that way, and so he takes everything personal when if he didn't go public with it, he might not feel the same way.
But don't you think in a situation like that, then, and I obviously sympathize with whatever he may be going through, but this is a lot. Like, this is a lot of cases where, you know, there was the one where somebody said, "You need a tennis racket," and he called them a homophobic slur. And then, you know, there was what happened the other day. You know, he has a track record now of jawing back and forth with players. And I just, whatever help he's getting, I wish it was better. Like, I wish just someone could tell him that the more you respond, the more people are going to do it. And to lay back on that, and I know it's easier said than done, but when you find out that, according to reports, that this wasn't a personal thing, it was just about baseball, I'm sorry, man, but that's what people do at games. Mm-hmm. Like, how many times have you booed a team you didn't like and said, like, you suck, you can't, you know, you can't shoot, like, you know, you're, I don't know, anything. But
I think baseball might be the hardest sport to play with hecklers of all the sports. Why? Because you go up to bat 10 times, you fail 7 times, you're going to hear it 7 times. Like, you fail 7 times, you hit 3 times out of 10, you're a really good baseball player, but there's 7 times you fail, and so you got to hear it constantly. You're failing all the time on the field, and so you are going to hear it even amplified when people are heckling you.
Let's go to Joe on line 3. Joe, what's up, buddy? How you doing?
Hey, what's up, guys? Hey, thank God Daryl Strawberry wasn't so sensitive. Daryl! And what about the whole Fenway Park basically singing, "Yankees suck, Yankees suck"?
Yeah.
I mean, what is Chad talking about? They're protecting their players. That's worse than Jaylen Brown's dad standing up for him. I mean, what are we doing? Raising a whole bunch of people that are getting stuck up for when they need just a little bit thicker skin.
Well, let's go to Mike on line 1. Mike, what's happening, man? How you doing?
Hey, Mike.
Hey, how you doing?
Great.
So, Jaren Durant is a professional. You guys are professionals. We spend most of our lives doing our job. So, imagine being heckled. Like, you guys are just saying, you're right there. You're not like Teddy on a football field, moving around that football field the whole time. You're right there batting every day, or every inning, or, you know, a lot at the game anyway. You're hearing it the whole time. That is personal. You take that personal. When you gentlemen get heckled by your fans or the people that don't like you, you have a chance to heckle back or jar with them or whatever.
But Mike, if they're not saying, if they're talking about your, Mike, hang on, Mike. But the thing is, if they're making fun of your, like, they're ripping on you for sports things, like, apparently they were making fun of his batting average, dude, that's part of the game. It's like on third down when the crowd goes crazy. Your mental toughness is what makes the great ones great, and being able to drown out the noise. And so in this case, from what it sounded like, it wasn't anything that was over the line. If it is, get him out of there.
I get that.
Yeah.
I get that. My point is that back in the day with the players we grew up with, they could jar back. It wasn't as big of an issue, but it also wasn't being seen by anybody but the person. You know, nowadays it's being seen. Jared, you know, he reacts. He doesn't do it the right way sometimes, but nowadays you jar back to fans, and it's big news, whether you're in the right or not.
I mean, it's a good point.
What was
Mike makes a good point.
What was the best heckle you ever heard, Ted?
One that you were like, dude, that was so good. I kind of respect that.
I don't think I've ever heard like a one that really just landed home. Other than I told you Fireman Ed was yelling at me, but I can't remember exactly. I just remember it was Fireman Ed.
I would just go, dude, you're wearing an airplane on your head.
Yeah, dude, seriously. But then there's the power that Fireman Ed has. He gets the entire stadium to just be quiet. And then he does the JT. So so there's a little respect, but nothing was ever been said to me that was where I felt like the worst stuff I've ever gotten was in when I first got into radio and I went public with my personal stuff in the text line.
Because it's one-on-one. Like 603 texture mentions golf and tennis. You're seeing that a lot in golf, like guys not able to take it from the galleries and like complain. Remember during the Ryder Cup, people were complaining about how the treatment of the English people. It's a new generation of athletes. I'm telling you, it's not. Ted grew up tough. Like, he was ready for that stuff.
Yeah,
These kids are not.
Again, but the football field, you don't hear it. Golf course, you hear everything, like, succinctly. Mm-hmm. Baseball field, tennis court. It's a quieter atmosphere, and so they're going to hear everything people say, unlike in a football field where you can't hear. It's just ambient noise.
Let's go to Nick on line four. Nick, what's up, man? How you doing?
Hey, guys. How's it going today? I just want to... Well, I'm off of what you guys just said there a little bit. I don't think that guy has seen the text line enough to know that you guys don't get enough criticism of your own from some of these people out here. But Jaren Duran must be softer than puppy's poo, because I mean, you see Mac Jones back in the day get absolutely booed off the field. You get zappy chants across the entire field. You're literally calling for another player to play your position. Did they kick out the entire stadium?
That's fair. I mean, it happens.
It's part of sports. Yeah, it is. And as I said, if you just don't get personal. And that's what I was trying to ask.
You're right. If you don't react, it goes away. People stop.
Yep. Let's go to Richard on line five. What's up, Richard?
Hey, Richard.
It's always a pleasure listening to you guys in the afternoon.
Thanks, buddy.
Hey, I just want to say, you know, there's two sides looking at this, but, you know, in the old days, I remember as a kid going to Fenway Park, you actually had tickets, right? And on the back of the ticket, it had their admission policy, you know? Mm. So Fenway Park, and if I can make a few points before I get cut off, you know, they've got a behavior policy, and they have a strict code of conduct, and it requires the ticket holder to behave respectfully. And it says it right there that violations of this probably results in immediate ejection without a refund. So you're going into this, you know what could happen. And I got to tell you, listen, I've been at the game plenty of times, and there's always one jerk that's in your section. And, you know, I don't mind anybody shouts and tell somebody that they suck and stuff, you know. But I'm not going to listen to it for 5 or 6 innings. I'm not going to sit there with my wife and my kids or my mother and my father and listen to it. Especially if he's a Yankee fan, I'm going to take his head and I'm going to jam it in the seat and I'm going to give him a win.
Well, that's the kind of regulation we need.
Honestly, you need to call up Jaren Duran. You can get tickets to every game, and if someone starts razzing him, you just jam his head into the seat.
But it's a good point. In the old days of the rivalry, a Red Sox fan would have beat the snot out of this guy for ripping Jaren Duran's batting average.
That's what we did.
You're right. Maybe the fans have gotten soft. You're right. Nobody said that. This is a Yankees fan. They're letting him do that? They're letting him get into Jaren Duran.
The Fenway Park code of conduct is refrain from offensive language and hate speech and be respectful of others. So that's very vague. I mean, they could just take that whatever they want.
Yeah, because hateful language could be Yankee suck.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Do we know for sure this was a Yankees fan?
I'm just going by because the guy that called in and said he was.
I'm sure we've all experienced this, but when I was at the game a couple weeks ago, there were a few, these kids must have been 13, and they were ripping Caleb Durbin. And it was so funny because they were clearly Red Sox fans, and we had just had Lorenzo on, so I'm like, hey, he just hit two homers. They're like, no, get him out of here. It was our own fans.
Well, I told you Contreras was jawing off to two guys that were in a Harry Potter 30 Years of Magic jersey. It was a guy who said, like, Hufflepuff on the back with Red Sox on it. And I'm like, of all the people that just you don't want to be picking a fight with Contreras, he'll get you, man. Like that dude, he'll jaw off and I don't know. I've seen him get pissed. It's not, you don't want to be on the other side.
It's impossible to trade Contreras now. I mean, a week ago I was saying you got to move everybody, but I think he's a fan favorite who's sticking, and now you got him for a couple more years. Yeah. You got to ride him.
Somebody he gives her edge. Ass. Yeah,
he does. And you know what? Yep. He's dude. It's nice just to have a first baseman that you don't have to worry about. First base
he's gonna
is
hit 30
big.
Home runs.
Right. So. No, don't send him anywhere, please.
Wilson!
Man, yeah, the Wilcano's catchphrase is it's going to stick.
I love it.
Another edition of Wiggy 250 in celebration of the 250th anniversary of this country coming up in about 15 minutes for Mego, but on the phone, not in person, Eliza Dushku at 9. So,
wait, I did my hair.
I know. I screwed that up.
Aww.
That's on me. She All is right. going to join us, though. She said she would come in person for the Jimmy Fund Radio Telethon if we want Eliza, Eliza Dushku. But she has something that she wants to promote that is happening this weekend, and she's out of town. So I said, fine.
All right.
We would love to have you. Text message for you, Curtis, on the Subaru of New England text line, a 781 text, which says, Country Club Curtis questioning anyone's toughness is laughable with regard to what you were saying about yep. Roman Anthony.
Text line tough guy questioning anybody's toughness is laughable. I'd play with a sore little ring finger. I'm sorry. I think I'd be okay.
No, you wouldn't.
He played through the tooth thing.
Yeah.
I'm still playing through
it. Yeah, that's different, though. It's different. And that's why I kind of take offense.
As a professional athlete, I can tell you.
It's not even close. As a former athlete, I do take offense to the whole toughness conversation.
You do.
Especially when people have never played at a high level and understand the importance of the physicality and just the injuries on how it affects you to be able to perform at a high level. Because you might be like,
would say Tom Brady, if he had the same ring finger issue that Roman Anthony had, he would tape the thing up
right.
and shoot it up
right.
and
play. Yeah, I mean, and maybe
can players be tough, Wiggy?
Yeah, I think they're. I think
can players be tough?
Yes.
So why can't players be soft?
Because I don't think there's no such thing as a soft player.
Okay, can't argue with that.
No, I don't think there is. I think that there are some guys that can play through certain injuries, and then there are the other guys that it's the pain tolerance, right? There are people that can't deal with the pain all the time. You know, and so I think as a former athlete, I'll never question anybody's toughness because I don't know what that person's pain threshold is like.
Yeah.
Especially if I never played.
So you never had a teammate. You and your teammates never questioned the speed with which another guy was coming back.
No. We don't question that. We don't question their toughness. And
so Julian Edelman did. You didn't.
And we don't question their money.
So Julian Edelman calling Jimmy G a P-word and made of glass is someone that's an anomaly.
And he said that publicly?
Yes.
Then Julian would be more in the minority on that one.
Okay.
Yep, because there are two things we don't do as professional athletes, and that, you know, at least from the people I've been around, the code that I've been around, we don't question our teammates' toughness and the injuries that they're dealing with, and we don't worry about their money when it comes to their contracts.
617 text, Curtis, why don't you question the toughness of Garrett Crochet?
Because I think as a pitcher, the lat is just different. And I also
What does
question.
That mean?
Yeah, exactly.
I think that Garrett Crochet is, how old is he, 25? He's
Garrett
been in
Crochet?
The big leagues.
He's been in the league. He's been in the big leagues for what, 3-4 years?
And I will give Brett, to
27.
Me.
27?
I would not say rush back and pitch in a year where it's not as relevant, whereas I think Roman Anthony would greatly benefit from the experience he's missing from this season.
But you said the lat. In the initial.
Right, I think like oblique with Pedro, the lat with Crochet, it's different to me with the pitcher who pitches every 5 days. They're more like fine china.
It's much different than a finger.
Right.
When you a finger, right? In baseball, where's the bat?
Well, you have your fingers. It's in your fingers.
Yeah, it's
your fingers are wrapped around it.
Yeah, so I think if you have a finger injury, it's going to affect the way you swing a bat.
Feels the same way, by the way. It's not just Curtis.
Yeah. Shime played.
Nobody gets more angry at judgment and then judges everyone.
Oh,
like
you're
Wiggy.
Damn right. I'll judge people. And Shime played high school volleyball. Like, seriously. And
I was. You played high school baseball. So did I.
Once again, Shime is a champ. He's won the championship the most recently of any of us.
In volleyball, he took, thank you very took much. A, two times.
Took a spike off the nuts one time. He was out for 2 months.
Right?
No.
Is that what you call
as
it?
As a manager. As a manager. But I, like I said, if you want to question like other things, being sensitive, that, but the injury part of it, because I've dealt with injuries and I know how they affect, and everybody's pain threshold is different.
Okay, but
like, you're judging somebody's, Curtis, you're judging somebody's pain threshold and you never had to deal with it, so you don't know the levels of, like, how much a guy can get.
Neither have you.
Yes, I have, as a professional athlete.
No, we're talking about baseball.
But it's not about the sport. It's
okay.
It's about dealing with the injury. And
so
the
highlight.
Listen, if you're not going to have a real conversation.
I am. I'm telling you that what we play versus what we see.
Curtis, do you think that any of your perspective of Roman Anthony and how his toughness with this injury has been shaded by how the organization first billed the injury? By
yes.
saying it's day-to-day back on May 5th
yep.
when we were in Hilton Head. And now we're sitting here and it's almost the 4th of July and we have no idea when he's coming back.
Especially an organization that has bent over backwards to coddle him. The fact that they were that public in their desire for him to return told me they didn't believe it was a serious injury.
I think it's also we don't have that much experience with him, so we don't really know.
But why would the organization attempt to make him look bad? This guy they just gave $130 million to.
Do you not believe him when he says the audio that we played earlier that he's having FOMO, that he wants to be out there, that he's – you don't think he wants to play?
I think he wants to play, especially a young dude who wants to prove that he's that good and that everybody's putting –
You don't take a cortisone shot unless you're trying to play for something.
You know, especially somebody who knows how much, like, the organization is depending on him.
Now, Meyer, I don't know.
If you question Maya, I would say the same thing to Mego. She called him soft physically.
I'm saying there was a report from Sean McAdam over the weekend that inside the organization, some people were saying that they were wishing Meyer were a little bit more available day to day.
Yeah. But I am told that that's a legit injury, like that's a very serious injury that he's dealing with.
So let me just, why would the organization go out of their way to try and hurry Roman's return? A guy that they have put guaranteed money into his future.
Because they feel they need him out there for the offense and they look like they have nothing.
Right.
But
up until most recently.
What is it, cutting your nose to spite your face?
Yeah, cutting your nose off to spite your face.
Like, I don't get it. That doesn't make sense to me. And I don't think any of them played. I don't think Chet. Well, I guess, you know, Sam Kennedy didn't play professional baseball.
And I would say the same thing to him.
This is Jim from Upton. What's up, Jim?
Hey, how you guys doing today?
Hey, what's up?
Hey, so I was just talking about the injury thing there. So you keep talking about Marcelo Meyer and Roman Anthony, but we're forgetting the big one down there in Worcester is Tristan Casas, who can never play because he's always got some kind of rib thing going on.
He's been missing in action.
Talk about soft.
Yeah. Worcester is like the end of the earth for these guys, though. Like, remember Bayo? Are we ever seeing him again? Like, these guys got Christian Campbell?
Yeah, but
these guys go there, and who knows?
Casas did dislocate his kneecap, and I think he needed surgery for that one. I mean, I'm not saying that's why. He wasn't good. But, you know, I don't think the Roman Anthony thing, I think, is a lot different because people are like, oh, it's only a finger. Why can't he play through it? I think that's what everybody.
It's only an ingrown toenail. Come on.
Wait, so should Casas be here, Wiggs?
No, I don't think Casas is probably healthy to play. It's just he's not good enough to get called up.
No, that's not what it is. He's not even playing.
So then why is he playing?
They thought he was going to hit 40. Yeah. They thought he was really good.
I thought he was fine and he was healthy. He's just not good enough to come up.
No, he's on the shelf.
2-1, 1-out, 5-1 Sox, the 1-2. Is a check swing, did he go? Yes, he did. Now, Nick Lentz had a really nice chat with Wilson Contreras as he took the field in the top of the first, and clearly he was expressing his, you know, sincerity and emotion. I don't know. Wilson, as he's walking to the first base dugout, is tapping his helmet as if he'd like to challenge, and somebody just got thrown out. Was it Contreras?
Yeah.
No way. If Nick Lentz just did that, get the heck out of town. You got to be kidding me. On this night of all nights, with what he knows is going on, you've got to be kidding me. That is the least lack of feel I've ever seen from an umpire. Are you kidding me?
Will Fleming not thrilled with Wilson Contreras getting ejected last night? I was about to say challenging a call. It's really not what happened. He was walking back to the dugout. He was frustrated. He tapped his helmet. The umpire saw it, Nick Lentz, and decided to toss Wilson Contreras from the game. I know a lot of people are upset about that, Will Fleming included. You can discuss it here on Jones and Keefe, 617-779-7937. 793.7. What'd you think of how all that went down, Terp?
That is so soft. It's just so soft. It was so harmless. It's not like he's mouthing off to him. He just tapped his helmet. It's obviously not a challengeable thing. And yes, I get it why he's like, oh, he's mocking me. But like, come on. That's just so soft.
Apparently, it's not the first time he's done it. He did it a year ago, according to the Nesson broadcast last night. He's ejected another player for tapping their helmet. So it's not the first time this umpire has done this. I guess Will's point, and from what I've been told, he did it for a few innings last night. But I guess his point was that you especially have no feel with Wilson Contreras specifically and what he's going through with his native country of Venezuela. You saw his reaction after he hit the home run last night. Like, incredibly awesome reaction on the field. Thumping his chest. Venezuela, like, screaming it to the rooftops, going around the bases, and then literally breaking down in the clubhouse. And I don't mean that in, like, a mean or nasty way. I just mean that's what it was. I mean, he was breaking down in the clubhouse. He had Abreu come over hugging him. Chad Tracy came over and hugged him. So, like, clearly emotions are on high for those players from Venezuela, and specifically Contreras. So I guess Will's point was, like, the umpire has no feel for what's going on. I mean, I'll cut the umpire a little slack on that. It's not the umpire's job to know the nationality of every player on the other side. Maybe he didn't know exactly what's going on. Even if he did, what, he's supposed to call the game differently?
Take that out of it. It's just not ejection worthy.
I agree. My commentary has nothing to do, as much as I feel for him, about what Wilson Contreras and everyone in that country or from that country is going through right now and dealing with. That's not my commentary on it. It's just soft by the umpire to not be able to look the other way when a guy is not glaring at you, is not saying anything. Wilson Contreras literally said nothing going back to the
dugout. I don't think the umpire did either. Wasn't there a warning?
Yeah, well, Wilson Contreras tapped his helmet. He tapped his helmet right back, meaning Nick Lentz.
That's it.
And then he ejected him. And so I was expecting when they showed the replay on Nesson, which is where I happened to be watching at the time. Maybe you were listening on WEEI. I expected them to show on the replay him like hollering at him. I'm like, well, this guy's a wild man. I'm sure he said something. Didn't say a thing. And so to me, it's just incredibly soft for an umpire. Is it technically right by letter of the law? Maybe. It had no impact on the game. The Red Sox were already up 5-1. I wasn't worried about that. That's just a ridiculous way to throw a player out, even if it is the letter of
the law. It's just not ejection worthy. Has there ever been like such a peaceful ejection like that? He just tapped his head. There was no word spoken. And I get like, yeah, maybe I'm with you. I don't think the umpire, it's like his job necessarily to know all that what's going on with different players' nationalities. But like, clearly it was an emotional night. And like, I think that does play into a little bit. But at the end of the day, it's just that doesn't warrant an ejection. Like, that's just so soft.
So Wilson Contreras after the game, let's hear from him and what he had to say about his ejection. Here's his side of the story. We'll hear from the umpire here in a moment.
No, it wasn't directed at him. It was just like I was looking at the fans.
Stop for a second. It was directed at him. Let's just be honest. You were directing it at the umpire. Let's just be honest for a second, Wilson. You weren't looking at the fans. You weren't making the motion to the fans. It's about the umpire. Like, I don't think you should have been ejected, but let's be truthful here.
And instead, like, a Dominican fan was talking to me during that. Wow, I was tapping my helmet. So I was looking at him. He kept telling me, "You're good. You're right. Just like breathe." I was like, "Okay." I was like there. And then when I got to the dugout, that I saw Chad going out. And then I turned around. Then Myers told me, "Like, you got thrown out." I was like, "For what?" And then I went out there to explain to him, like to ask him why he threw me out. And he told me, like, because you tapped your helmet. Yeah, but I didn't make eye contact with you. I didn't argue. I didn't yell. I didn't do nothing wrong. And he told me, yeah, but I have to throw you out. Like, you didn't have to, but you made that choice. That's it.
Okay. So he says he didn't do anything wrong. I mean, you're not supposed to tap your helmet again by letter of the law there. You're not supposed to do it. But he wound up doing it. I still wouldn't have ejected him in that spot. It was so innocuous. You can look the other way. You don't have to make it about you. But let's not say we didn't do anything wrong and it wasn't about the umpire. Like, that to me, I also don't think is quite on the up and up.
I think this is like, so putting it like in the NBA, right? If you wave off the ref, it's an automatic technical foul. If there is a rule in the rule book that states that you are mocking, like by tapping your
helmet. You're only supposed to do it for balls and strikes. I don't think you explicitly can't tap your helmet for anything else.
But if it doesn't say that, if it doesn't explicitly say that warrants an ejection, then it shouldn't.
And also, how many times do guys wave off an official and they don't get a technical?
All the time.
Officials look the other way.
Correct.
That would really be more. So, like, I know what the letter of the law is, but now there's the actual, like, what do I see and how is it? Are you waving me off and MFing me? Or he is waving me off and not even making eye contact, and I can get over that because I'm a grown-up. So that would be my issue with Nick Lentz, the umpire last night at first base. He ruled on appeal at first base that Contreras swung at an outside slider to end the at-bat, and that Contreras did not check his swing. Quote, I called him out on an appeal for the check swing, and as he was walking back to the dugout, he started gesturing, tapping his helmet, like he wanted to challenge something that is not a challengeable call, Lentz said to a pool reporter. And so disrespect and, again, gesturing towards what he thought was an incorrect call got him removed from the game. So, like, disrespect. I don't think it was that disrespectful.
It's not.
He's barely making eye contact. So then I tell the umpire to chill out a little bit. Lentz, who tapped his own head, as we said, while throwing Contreras out of the game, says it's an automatic ejection if a player makes that gesture in a mocking way. He says it's like drawing a line in the dirt is what Lentz said to the pool reporter. He added that the gesture is on the list for items for removal from the game. Quote, you can have a little bit of a discretion, but in a situation like this, where it's pretty immediate and showing disagreement or trying to gesture in that sort of manner, it would be immediate. So he even said right there, I could show discretion, but I chose not to. So I'd say he's a big baby. I'd say Wilson Contreras isn't quite owning what happened last night. So all of that was a mess. I will say it was an awful night for the umpires last night.
Terrible.
They lost track of the balls and strikes later on in the game.
How does that happen?
They had to delay the game for
it's
like 10 minutes.
It's only posted like 50 different places around the stadium.
Okay, but it was
how
all,
do you lose it?
But that was all wrong apparently too. In the stadium, and Middlebrooks was saying like on his laptop, like whatever program he was following, that was wrong. So the Red Sox had it right for once. And they were actually on top of things because this is a team that will try to turn double plays when there's already two outs. And this is a team that, like, constantly is losing track of the outs and running to the wrong base. For once, the Red Sox had it right, and the umpires had it wrong. So I would say last night, rough night for the umpiring crew.
That should not be a thing in the modern-day baseball. How do you lose count? How do you mess up the count? I don't understand that. I just don't. Is there, like, one person? There cannot possibly be one person overseeing this. I'm sure there are multiple people on whatever panel is doing this, and you're losing count? Like, what are they doing?
Okay. Meanwhile, five in a row, Terp.
Buying in.
Are you buying in?
I'm getting closer. I'm getting real close.
Yeah, they didn't gain any ground yesterday.
No, that's
they
the thing.
They did not. Seattle came back and won that game, which is unfortunate.
I just keep going back to Colorado.
Let me tell you, 3.5? 3.5. All
exactly.
All of a sudden, I'd be like, hell yeah.
Although James Wood hits a home run on the first pitch of the game, and I was like, oh, here we go.
Yeah, and Suarez had a real rocky stretch. What was that, the sixth inning? Where he was, I mean, you want to talk about the umpires, helping him out to a degree when they ended up ultimately getting the balls and strikes correct. That was right in the middle of all of that. And Suarez wound up getting first the double play. Or am I mixing my plays up? No, maybe I'm mixing up the different stretches. Anyway, Suarez got into a jam.
Still got a call to start.
He did.
12 straight. Do they get the record? So the team record's 14 straight.
From 1988?
1988. Do they get to the team record?
Sure.
Think so?
Yeah, I say yes.
Now they got to go for it.
Put me on the spot. I say sure. So, no, the Colorado series is extra frustrating for exactly what you said. But, Terp, you just mentioned the way they're pitching. 12 straight quality starts. They have a 6-1 ERA. Sorry, 6-1 record with a 1.75 ERA. Over their last 12 games, they've won 8 out of 11. So I need more than this. I probably need a sweep.
They're also scoring runs.
I probably need a sweep of the Nationals to start even thinking about buying back in. But I'm paying attention. I think a lot of people all of a sudden are like side-eyeing the Red Sox. And, ooh, I see you. I'm not ready to give my heart back to you and get back on the bandwagon. But I think people are now starting to pay attention and go, oh, maybe in a week or so, I could see myself buying back in.
Remember at the beginning of the season, really even as recent as the last couple of weeks, we were talking about just being a league average offense. And I'm not putting stock into 7 games, but they've scored 4-plus runs in 7 straight games. Unironically, they've won 6 of those 7 games. It was really as simple as that. You have to be able to score runs to win games. Now, are we going to buy into the fact that it's like Caleb Durbin and Siegler, it's those guys carrying the offense? Is that sustainable? That's a different question. But as of right now, they are finally scoring runs that is complementing the pitching, and that's what they needed all year long. It's just, is this sustainable? I'm not buying into a 7-game sample, but this is what they needed.
It's right about when they made their run last year. They got real hot going into the All-Star break. It's right where they made their run to turn it around and make the postseason a year ago.
Also, do you remember what fueled that run last year?
I didn't. I saw Carrabba's tweeting about this. It was a bad flight,
yep,
right?
Mechanical issues on a plane.
How about
there
that?
There you go. History repeats itself.
All you need is a near-death experience to turn this thing around with the Boston Red Sox.